Hallelujah. Glory to God. I don't know about you, and I'm sure you're like me in some ways. You can come into this room or any, you know, come from your various places having a long day. Some of us have eaten, some of us haven't eaten. And it's sure good when he manifests his presence. Because I'll tell you, it makes you in the natural feel like you could run through a troop and leap over a wall. And you kind of forget the day. Isn't that the truth? Whatever transpired, it's like a distant memory. You got, yes, sir, bring it on. I'm serious. I know you know that. But it's just good when we can come and enjoy the presence of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And that's the series that we're going to spend a little time on, the name of Jesus. And we've been touching on that, looking at Scripture, highlighting the name of Jesus, how he obtained his name. We can see from Scripture he obtained it through inheritance in Hebrews. We can see in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3 and verse 4 that he obtained by inheritance a more excellent name than they. He's talking about the angels. And we saw from Philippians chapter 2, he was given a name. And that name is above every name. And it says that at the name of Jesus, verse Philippians 2:10, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. So we can see he was given a name. And one of the things that we've been spending a little time on is looking at Ephesians chapter 1. Why don't you turn over there for a moment? Ephesians chapter 1, and let's look at this particular prayer from the heart of Paul by the Holy Ghost. And it says, starting in verse 17, it says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in who? In the knowledge of him. I think if there's anything right there, that's says it for me, says it all. He's saying he's desiring that we receive a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. When we have a revelation and an increasing revelation in the knowledge of him, I believe that the current church today will walk like the church in the book of Acts. They had a revelation in the knowledge of him. Not only did they have a revelation directly from him, but it was a revelation that they had in the name and in the knowledge of him. So as we gain a greater revelation in the knowledge of him, you can see here he said, why? So that the eyes of your understanding you would know. The eyes of your understanding what? Being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and I like to put this in here, and you would know what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in me. You'll know that. And you'll know what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to what? The working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he did what? He raised him from the dead, set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, where? Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to who? The church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. And as we gain a greater knowledge and revelation in the knowledge of him, I'll tell you, you'll walk in a frame of mind, a mindset, I want to say a mindset, and your heart, you'll walk with a sense of, I like what years ago when I was at a meeting, this is years and years and years ago, when T.L. Osborne was alive, he was teaching at a Kenneth Copeland meeting. And he said, when I get off the plane in Africa, he said, this is how I walk. Royalty has just arrived. He said that was his thinking. That was what he believed, that I'm representing Christ and royalty has just arrived. And so when we have a revelation of Christ, we will walk that way. What does that mean? We'll live holy, we'll operate, and that kind of thinking will operate in his behalf. In other words, who's royalty? He is. And I'm in him, so that makes me royalty. Hallelujah. And you can see here in verse 20, the name, when it says, which he wrought in Christ. So you can see here his name is mentioned in connection with him being raised from the dead. And that's when he was begotten. And it says, well, you know, when have I begotten thee? He said he was begotten when, and we saw that in Acts 13, when it says when he was begotten from the dead. So we can see this great inheritance that we have. And we looked at, just highlighting some scripture that we went over Sunday, and Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14, you don't have to turn there, I'll just read it. And it says here, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same. He took on flesh and blood. And that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. And I love some of the translations. It said he destroyed, the message said he destroyed the devil's hold on death, spiritual death. And the Rotherham translation says, he paralyzed him that held the dominion of death, that is the adversary. He paralyzed him. The Goodspeed says that by his death he might dethrone him. So he's been dethroned. And the Moffat's translation said, by dying he might crush him who wields the power of death. Hallelujah. And I like this. This is a complete Jewish Bible. It says, by his death, he might render ineffective the one who had the power over death. That is the adversary. So he's been rendered ineffective in the name. Hallelujah. And we see there from Colossians 2:15, it says that he spoiled principalities and powers, making an open show of them in triumphing over them in it. And I like that. Most of the other translations, it says that he was defeated, he was disarmed, he was stripped. So he's been brought to naught. Hallelujah. He just doesn't want you to know it. He doesn't want you to have a revelation in the knowledge of Him. Because when you do, you'll know, not just that you'll know it because I'm reading it, but you'll know it. Not mentally, you'll know it down here. That when something comes, up comes this word and this sword out of your spirit. Say, no, you're defeated. Fear can't grip my mind and my soul and my body. It may touch me and hit my flesh, but it's not going to affect what I say. Fear will not affect what I say. Fear will not motivate me to do something against the word. The word of God will come up like a sword and will be like a barrier. Fear will come, but you're going to say, no, you're stripped. You have no power over this flesh and this mind. You have no power over my finances. I'm not going to give you power with my words. See, and most times when fear comes, it grips people's what? Mind. And they begin to give him power to do something by what we say and by how we express ourselves. Hallelujah. But when this revelation in the knowledge of him comes, then I put up a sword with the word of God. Hallelujah. We're all growing in this area. But as we grow, as we gain more revelation, we have less and less slip-ups, as I call them. Less and less where we're gripped by fear and we say something or do something or react to it. You see. Amen. So that's the same as I have mentioned on Sunday, Ephesians 6, when it says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So what does that mean? We do wrestle against them. We just don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but we do wrestle against principalities and powers and wicked spirits. But they've been disarmed. That's what Jesus said, that Paul in that revelation, he said, they've been spoiled. They've been disarmed. They've been paralyzed. That's why he could say, greater is he that is in me. Greater than who? Greater than these demons and devils that we wrestle against. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So greater is he. So let's turn over to Revelation for a moment. We're just going to spend a few minutes here. Remind ourselves of what the word says. Because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 18. That's why when the scripture says, I'm just as you're turning there, what does the scripture say? It says, there should be and is no fear in death. See, sometimes when people get an evil report, they get gripped with fear and they'll say, oh no, the doctor said. What did Jesus say? Excuse me. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 18, it says, I am he. Well, let's back up to 17. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, what? Fear not. I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. He has the keys of hell and death. Now let's look at Matthew 28. Matthew chapter 28. Glory to God. The presence of the Lord is here. Whew, Jesus. Hallelujah. Matthew 28, and let's look at verse 18. And it says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, these are the disciples, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And what's verse 19 say? Go ye therefore. So we shouldn't be waiting for him to do any, tell us to do. He's already given us a command. Go ye therefore and do what? Teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. So you can see here, we have been authorized right here in verse 19 to go and use his name. And we can say this, the name is the key. He said, I have the keys of hell and death. You know, I think about this. I have on this set right here, I'm thinking about this for a second. On here, I have a master key. I got this key. And this key here will open up just about every door. I would say every door. Now, there's some locks here that I have to use another master key. So we don't have one cylinder in every lock, but I would say this. I have two keys here that will open up every door in this facility. I would say that's a master key, right? So it can open the door. Now, what's opening the door? Is it me or the key? The key is opening the door. So I'm not doing it. I'm not opening the door. The key is. I'm not healing you. The key is. The name. When you use the name, it's not you, it's the name. The name is the key. And that key will open up things for you. And think about this. I have this key. I also have the authority here. Not only to use it, but I have the authority to give another key out and give them the authority to use it. Right? I have that key, and I have the right to make a copy of it, have somebody make a copy and say, give that to so-and-so. Now you open the doors. That's what Jesus did. He said, I have the keys of hell and death. And he said, now you go. So he in turn did the same thing I would do. I'd say, here it is, take this key, and now you do the building. You go and do it. That's the same thing, is it not? Hallelujah. Now let's turn to John. I want us to look at this for a second because it's important here for a minute. John chapter 14, we've been looking at this. John chapter 14. And let's look at verse 12 through 14. And we're going to look at John 16 also. John 16 and verse 23 and 24. In John 14, in the King James, it says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. I want you to stop and just focus your eyes on verse 13 and 14. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, That will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now, let's read John 16, and then I'm going to make a point. John 16 and verse 23 and 24. And in that day, you shall ask me nothing. He's talking about this day. He's talking about in the day that we live. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask who? Okay, so this is different than what we just read in John 14. He's saying here, up to this point, you've asked me nothing. He said, whatsoever you do what? Ask the Father in his name. Who's going to do it? Who? It says he. Not I. He's talking here. Jesus is talking. He's saying, you ask the Father and he will give it you. It doesn't say I will give it you. See, he just got done saying, I will do it. In verse 4, in John 14, here Jesus is talking, and he's saying, you ask the Father, he will give it to you. Right? And it says, hitherto, that means up till now, have you asked nothing in my name. Well, that's because he was still with him. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. Now, here's the point. Jesus, in John 14, is not talking about prayer here. See, John 16, he's talking about prayer. He's saying, you ask the Father in my name and he will do it. That's prayer. Now here, he's saying here, whatsoever you ask in my name. Now, I'm going to clarify this here now. He said, whatsoever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Verse 14, if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. He's not talking about prayer to the Father to do something. He's talking about using the name of Jesus against the enemies in our life. The word ask also means demand. Whatsoever you demand in my name, I, Jesus, will do it. You're not asking the Father to do something. You're demanding. Not demanding Jesus to do something, but you're demanding something in the name of Jesus. And Jesus said, I'll take care of it. So, just turn for a second. I'm going to make another point here, but turn over to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. And look at verse 6. You're familiar with this passage here. Peter and John going into the temple, and there's a lame person from his mother's womb. And what did he say in verse 6? He said, then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have. He had something. He said something. Now, here's the question. Did he pray? No, he didn't pray to the Father. He didn't pray a prayer to the Father and ask something in Jesus' name. This is John 14 right here. He demanded something in the name of Jesus. He said, but such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. He demanded something in the name of Jesus. He demanded what? That cripple man get up and walk. Now I'm going to share this here. And I do encourage you, if you don't have these books The Name of Jesus by Brother Hagen, Brother Kenneth E. Hagen, and The Wonderful Name of Jesus by E.W. Kenyon, and the name, I forget the what's the other one, Kenneth W. Hagen, it's also The Name of Jesus, that you consider buying them and feeding upon them. Because from that, there becomes a greater revelation in the knowledge of him. These men had revelation in the knowledge of Jesus and the Word of God. But Brother Hagen said that he was teaching in a meeting on the name of Jesus. And he said there was a professor of Greek in one of his meetings. And this is what he said. He said this professor shared that the Greek literally says, he was reading along, this is what he said in his book on the name of Jesus. I was reading some of that today. He said that he was reading, the professor was reading along in his Greek Bible as Brother Hagen was reading from the King James. And this professor of Greek said this. He said, the Greek literally says, whatever you demand as your rights and privileges, that shall I do. Whoa! Whatever you demand as your rights and privileges, that shall I do. Boy, that puts it in another whole meaning in John 14. It's not just asking, you're demanding from my rights and privileges. Where do you find that out? That's what Brother Hagen would always say. Look up all of the in him, in whom, in Christ. Those are your privileges. In Christ, in him, in whom. That you can demand. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we can see, and here's something else. I looked this up today in the Strong's Concordance. You can look this up for yourself. Number 4441. I'm giving you the number to look up. As they say, this is an assignment. No, it's not an assignment. If you desire, right? And it's in English, so it's not. It's a Greek concordance, but the Strong's Concordance. But it brings out the meaning in the Greek word translated ask, to demand something due. How can I demand something due that's not my right and privilege? I can't. So when I ask, I'm demanding something due that's my right and privilege. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So Peter was, you can see, he understood what Jesus meant when he said, whatsoever you demand in my name, I will do it. Peter understood that. He understood the power behind the name. Let's turn to Acts chapter 9. You're right there in Acts. Let's look at Acts chapter 9. And look at verse 32. You can go through the book of Acts and look up the various references, most, not all, but most references you will see, they didn't pray to the Father. They demanded in the name of Jesus. Look at verse 32, starting in verse 32. Acts chapter 9, starting in verse 32. And it says, and it came to pass, as Peter passed throughout all quarters, he came down also to the saints which dwelt at Lydda. And there he found a certain man named Aeneas, which had kept his bed 8 years and was sick of the palsy. And Peter said unto him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Arise, make thy bed. And he arose immediately. He didn't pray. He demanded, he asked, he pronounced the name of Jesus. And all that dwelt at Lydda and Saron saw him, and they did what? They turned to the Lord. So you can see the effect of the name of Jesus, not only on that man, but that whole area. They turned to the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's turn back to Acts 3 for a second. And let's look at verse 16, Acts 3, 16. And it says, and his name, through faith in this name, hath made this man whole. Made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And I think this is what I want to just conclude with here, is that it's going to be faith in the name. He said it's faith, what did he say? And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know, yea, the faith which is by him, the one receiving, hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. So it's going to be faith in his name as we use it. How does faith in his name increase? By faith cometh by hearing, and hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So as we feed upon the word of God, this is what Ephesians chapter 1 was saying, that we need to pray for a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. As we do, as we feed upon and meditate upon these scriptures, faith in the name will increase. And we will be bolder with using the name. It's not going to come any other way. You can use the name of Jesus and use it, you know, Jesus. But if there's no faith behind it and in it, it's like whistling Dixie. It's not going to work for you. Or it may not work to the measure that you expect it to. I'm not going to say it won't work for you. But it may not work to the measure. So spending time, that's why I encourage you to get those books and begin to read them. I read both of them a while ago. I'm coming back around again and feeding upon them, reading upon them, meditating on these particular scriptures and the revelation that these men got. And it would do us all good. I'll tell you, the devil doesn't want us to have a knowing in the knowledge of him. Because he's already defeated. He's paralyzed. He's stripped and spoiled. He doesn't want you to know it. Because when you know it, you won't fear. You won't back down from anything that comes against you. You won't back down. And that's what we see through the book of Acts. And I believe that God is stirring us in this church to see that and to know it in a greater measure. Because this area is going to be taken just that way. God will give us a prompting to go into the community, but you're going to have to go in his name. You're going to have to deal with the lives that are hurting and destroyed and messed up. You're going to have to deal with them in the name. What will you do? I shared that last Wednesday, some of the experiences that I've had, just a few in my life. What will you do when somebody begins to respond and to manifest demon motivation? What are you going to do? Are you going to sit there and go, I don't know what to do? I did that the first time. I didn't know what to do, but I'm telling you what to do. You use the name of Jesus, and those demons will have to bow. And I'm, you know, in this particular area, there's been inroads made into some of these areas, pockets of these areas in Rockland County, where demons and devils and things have set up camp, so to speak. And we need to root them out in the name of Jesus. Of course, at God's direction, but, you know, I'm thinking about when just some of the experiences, I just kind of replay some of these, that it wasn't anything. That's why I say sometimes we get over into the natural thinking, I got to work something up. I've got something to get worked up to use the name, and I feel this way. It's the name, period. It's wonderful if you're inspired and there's this, you know, you feel holy goosebumps. But it's not that that gets the job done. It's the name of Jesus that comes out of this spirit like a sword. And you could feel like 10 miles of bad road, but when it comes out of this spirit, it's like a sword. And they will have to bow and back off. And that's what I believe God is trying to get across to us, is that we've got to be more aware, be more, as Brother Hagin used to say all his life, be more God inside minded. Be aware of who's accompanying you. That's what I believe, is it Mark 16? Let me just look real quick here. I believe that's right, Mark 16 and verse 17. It says, "And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. Shall they cast out devils? They shall speak with new tongues." It's one thing, you know, most when you look up the word follow, I like it. It says accompany. See, follow, sometimes you think, well, it's following along behind me. No. When this says here, these signs shall accompany the believing ones. Sometimes when I hear accompany, that means I'm right alongside here with you. That paints a different picture. So you're not going in alone. You've got all the power, all of the, think about this, all of the omnipotence, all the power of the Godhead is in the name. All power has been given to him. That means all the power of the Godhead is in the name. Whew. I'm telling you, you ought to go in there with, as they say, guns blazing. With the name. Pull out your guns and just go for it. You know, I'm not, I wonder if I'm going to get through this. No. You've got all power in the name at your disposal. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, I'm going to close. Amen. That's it for tonight. Just to get us to think about and meditate on what we have. We have the name of Jesus. All power is invested in that name. Amen. Glory to God. Father, we thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the name of Jesus that we have. Thank you that every demon and devil has been spoiled and stripped and paralyzed and disarmed. And we thank you that those same devils and demons that we wrestle against have been overcome by the name of Jesus. And we thank you for it, Father. We're so grateful. Thank you that we don't have to fear. Thank you that you're here accompanying us. and at all times. And we thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We don't have to fear. We don't have to be apprehensive. We just have to be led by you in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.